Hello, everyone. Welcome to the JS Online and Packers News Packers Podcasts. I'm Tom Silverstein, and I'm here with Jim Osarski. We are 16 weeks through the NFL season. Hard to believe it's like it's been flying through. I guess that's what happens when fire the coach and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Before we get started, I'm going to remind you that we are brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. The World Series of Poker Circuit comes to Pottawatomie January 31st through February 11th. Play for a guaranteed prize pool of $750,000. More at paysbig.com/WSOP. So, Jim, what are we going to do so that we are motivated the last 2 weeks of the season? How are we going to continue to be professionals and play through the final two weeks?
Yeah, well, you got to be accountable. I'm accountable to you.
Yeah.
You know, and my colleagues at the Journal Sentinel and PackersNews.com. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, I guess if you're a Packers fan, this isn't, I mean, last year was bad, but I think people kind of forget about that to a degree, right, with the quarterback situation. This year, it's just, this is what happens around most of the league.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
welcome to the rest of the NFL.
Yeah, right? we're the end of the season's about playing for pride and what do you play for, and you know, should guys be shut down, you know,
and are you going to play? Which young guys are you going to play? You know, and it's definitely a foreign thing. You know, last year you could at least say, well, they're playing with Brett Hundley, you know, but this year, that's just a bad year.
Yeah, and it's and you kind of drift into this area where the game itself, like the matchup, doesn't matter as much. You know, the Jets don't really matter, the Lions don't really matter. Mm-mm. It goes back to what we talked about, Tom, I think several weeks ago, you know, when Joe Philbin took over, it's about the Packers. And what do they do? And while there was a lot of conversation about Aaron Rodgers, to me it's, you know, it's Josh Jackson and Josh Jones and, you know, I guess if Jason Spriggs were healthy, but it'll be Lucas Patrick if he plays. Like, it's those guys that Brian Gutekunst has to determine if they're, you know, will be on the team or be bigger parts of the team in 2019, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, at the same time that he's doing all this evaluation, I'm guessing that his days are made up a lot of researching who the next coach, who the candidates are going to be, you know, doing background stuff. I mean, his assistants do a lot of that work, but that's a full-time job to get, you know, dossiers on all these guys that you're
Well, it's not his
thinking.
Full-time job, though, according to Mark Murphy.
Oh, no, right. That's right. That's right. Good point. Good point. Yeah, it's definitely not his full-time gig. But he has to do all the legwork. Mark Murphy's not out there, you know, beating the pavement, calling people and trying to get, you know, assessments on guys. If I'm Joe Philbin, and I asked, sort of addressed this with him on Thursday, you know, I almost think like you have to throw some kind of carrot out there to get your team to have some fun or play up to its level, but he didn't really seem to think that any gimmicks were necessary, that you just prepare and play and, you know, prepare like you normally would and try to make guys successful. I don't buy it. I mean, I really think you got to do something to open, to get these guys' attention. You know,
yeah, I mean, am I wrong? They're in the playbook, right? I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when you asked Joe that question earlier and I thought about it and, you know, I my brain went back to, you know, the New England game where the Patriots, you know, did what they had to do to win that game with some flea flickers and whatnot. And, you know, we've seen fake punts and from a bunch of teams against the Packers, actually. I think Green Bay's won against Miami. This team just hasn't done that this year.
No.
It got me thinking about it. I was like, you know, It'd be fun to cover. It'd be nice to just like write a sidebar about some weird fake thing about a fat guy catching a touchdown mm-hmm. throwing to a little guy or something like that. I mean, you know, they just haven't done it, and who knows? Maybe they should have. Maybe earlier in the year they could have used something like that to be their galvanizing moment.
Yeah. It's just not. They're a boring team. You know, they do the same thing every week, and nobody says you have to be beholden to trick plays, but my goodness, you know, I mean, I don't know what they're doing in practice after we leave, but, you know, have a punting contest between, you know, the offensive linemen or, you know, something just to keep things light, and you know, maybe Philbin does have some plan to throw flea flickers and onside kick on the very first play or something like that, but heck, it doesn't seem in his nature.
Right. Heck, even if they accepted, won the toss and took the kickoff, that might be exciting.
That would be a huge change, you know. Yeah, it might be the galvanizing moment for the final 2 weeks of the season.
It's interesting, Tom, that you bring this up because it, you know, I don't know if our listeners are on social media. Because I think out of market, this is the only place you'll see it. You know, the Bears have what they call the Dub Club. It's they borrowed, Matt Nagy borrowed it from Joe Madden when the Cubs won the World Series. Every time they win, they have a party. They turn the lights out. They have a dance off essentially in the Bears locker room.
Mm.
And the Saints have been doing this, and Sean Payton's in there doing old man dances. You know, with his team. You know, you mentioned the lineman kicking. I mean, even in my time in Cincinnati, that was always a Friday friendly wagering moment.
Mm-hmm.
The lineman would kick field goals.
Yeah.
And it was a wager. And that's an interesting part of locker room culture, team building. I bring up Nagy and Peyton not only because they win, but those are guys who are – way different in age.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Andy Reid's doing that, but clearly they're doing different things on the field. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's all part of, you know, if you're going to sit there and say Mike McCarthy's time has come,
mm-hmm.
you just wonder if it means beyond just offense. If it's part of, I don't know.
Well, I think you do. Part of this is, I think if you've come across something here. I think it's the culture had become kind of boring. And say what you will, you know, winning makes everybody happy, but you still have to, everybody's human. And, you know, I remember throughout Mike Holmgren's period, and I bring this up a lot because, well, I covered all that, and they were very successful, but their practices, you know, while they were very demanding, there was a lot of goofing around, you know, when it didn't have to be as serious as it should be. And I don't really see that a lot with these guys. And I think they do need some kind of breath of fresh air, someone who can drill some life into them a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I think creativity, you know, breeds that a little bit. I mean, you know, again, it's a copycat league, and, you know, Packers fans say they want a young, quote-unquote, innovative head coach. Well, what are those guys doing? I mean, one of the reasons, you know, Matt Nagy was hired in Chicago. He made a real concerted effort to retain Vic Fangio, and he has said, I don't mess with the defense. However, he has defensive players come play offense.
Mm-hmm.
And while he is not... on one hand, you could say, wow, it's like a Ditka, Buddy Ryan sort of redux, how separate they can be. He has brought the team together to avoid some of that actual division.
That's
by
a
having
great point.
Them,
yeah.
You know, be invested in the offense and be a part of it. And, you know, again, I go to them because they're in the division, they're the current division champions,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that there's stuff like that kind of happening around the league in other areas.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think Nagy has done a really good job, and I think that is kind of a galvanizing thing for brings everybody together. You know, what the next guy here, you know, I don't know if he's going to be an offensive guy or a defensive guy, but they definitely need a personality, I think. You know, I think that's a part of it. You want him to be number one, be good in football, but you also want him to have some personality, because really in the way the Packers have things structured, he's the face of the organization. And Mike McCarthy's been the face of the organization for pretty much his entire tenure.
Yeah, can you remind either our listeners who are new, I mean, 2006 was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember a Mike McCarthy. I mean, people see the press conferences of late and getting some either feisty or whatever. But, I mean, you know, here was a guy who had to come in and, you know, reprogram Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that wasn't, you know, if I can recall from afar, it was this sort of big personality, a big man with ideas and sort of he had that a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And it seems like they need it again.
Yes, and you know, he was a guy who was into changing things every year. He was trying to stay fresh. But when he first got here, I think the thing that was really refreshing about him was that he was no nonsense. Like, he would tell it, you know, everything I've heard, he could talk to people and just be bluntly honest, you know. And I think people appreciated that. And I think he held a firm line with Favre when he came in. And I think he coached Favre, and Favre really appreciated that. And I think, you know, Rodgers did too early in his career. But somewhere along the line, you know, and this happens with coaches, all coaches, they get in these positions and I think they just, it becomes so consuming, the job, every year, that the stress gets to them, and then they start, you know, getting tighter and tighter, and the team notices it. And so I think maybe Murphy did McCarthy a favor, and he's going to, you know, wind up in another job and kick butt. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems, you know, it's funny, as I'm researching this and trying to get into it, do you see a similarity? Because it's like, okay, Favre was the 35-year-old, three-time MVP, Super Bowl champ, who essentially ran roughshod over the offense, and now where's this new head coach? 35-year-old, two-time MVP,
absolutely.
Super Bowl champ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, Rodgers even, it was so ironic when Rodgers said after the game against Chicago, he said, you know, now I know what Favre was talking about, that when he was 36 and there was nobody his age in the locker room to hang out with. And I remember that was such a big deal to Rodgers. Oh, I'll always be in the locker room and do my press conferences in the locker room, because Favre had his little, you know, room off to the side. Well, there was a reason Favre did. You know, I mean, he was, of course, a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and he just wanted to have his privacy, and he didn't really hang out with anybody on the team. They were all pretty young. And now you see this thing come full circle. And I think you're right. I think the next coach has to take back control of the team from Rodgers.
Yeah, it is. It's been interesting to watch as that new set of eyes coming in. Because I remember the Favre as a fan, as a younger person, you know, not covering this league, and it's just sort of interesting to see that, I guess. And I think, and you're right, I don't think they should limit themselves to, you know, has to be an offensive guy. I think it's just the personality.
Yeah.
And are you a good football coach? And at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers wants to win Super Bowls. I mean, whatever the issues are, that I don't think that can be debated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when he says, I want to be coached and I want to be pushed, I don't think that's – I think he, in order to get to where he wants to go, which is as an all-timer, I think he'll be receptive to that.
Yeah, and I was just thinking as you were talking about this, the next guy one thing people won't remember, but McCarthy took on Favre, and then he had to take on Charles Woodson, who came to Green Bay and was really unhappy. And pretty much did not like the structure, that he had to be an equal. He didn't like being in Green Bay. And McCarthy basically, you know, had discussions with him. I remember one night practice, they stood out on the field. We were waiting for him to give his little press deal. And they talked for 45 minutes, you know, before he came over.
Wow.
And Woodson has talked about this publicly, that, you know, he was miserable, and McCarthy basically told him to suck it up, and, you know, this is where you're at and what you're going to do. And I think he accomplished that, and I think this next guy is going to have to accomplish that.
Yeah, it's and it all starts with the quarterback, obviously. And I think as we started this podcast, Tom, with some of these other younger guys and whatnot, I think it's it starts with Rodgers, but I think all these other players, as Brian Gutekunst, maybe a lot of these guys are going to be key contributors in 19 that he's picked up mm-hmm. in the last 6 weeks. And you're right, I think having that. Of course, the new head coach is the face and can create a stamper or a new way. But I think there's a chance there, because if Clay Matthews leaves or if Randall Cobb leaves, this team is almost completely different than it was when it started.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the last 3 weeks since Mike McCarthy was fired, there's guys here who have never played under Mike McCarthy. So there's a real sea change. We knew it was coming, but I think it started already to a degree.
And I think one thing we've forgotten is that Rodgers is now, he's unfettered here, his personality over the team. In the past, even last year, Jordy Nelson was around, and Jordy Nelson was a fairly while a quiet kind of a leader, he still had a presence about him. And I don't think, it seems to me like Rodgers is kind of, as Nelson left, he's tried to take on more, and it's almost like bossiness, like, reign over the team. And I think he needs to get back to playing quarterback and less about, telling guys how to play, how he wants it, and how, they should be playing.
Yeah, that's been interesting, since, and that becomes a spotlight when the coach is fired and you've had this professional disconnect. Well, who's left? Okay, first of all, the fan base or the media, if you're someone out there who believes in that, okay, you got one head, blood's in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's left?
Mm-hmm.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, where it turns into very pointed criticisms, and I think fair, that this guy's not doing this, and we're not on this same page.
Right.
Now that the head coach and the play calling, whatever, that's been removed, you've seen, I think, a little more of his, as you said, his influence. I think the public has seen more of his influence
mm-hmm.
since Mike McCarthy's been gone, just in these little press sessions. And I, frankly, Tom, I think you're right. It's I don't know if it's played well publicly. I know people have said to me on social media, hey, stop telling those guys, just throw it to the guy.
Yeah.
Stop telling him where he should be, what he should do. Just throw it to the open guy.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it'll be really interesting to see how the new guy handles this and whether – there's some clashes, between Rodgers and whoever the new guy is. I do wonder if it might even be better to hire a defensive coach who can look at the big picture better than an offensive guy. McCarthy was so embedded in the offense and with Rodgers that I think he couldn't really entangle himself from that to see the whole big picture. And maybe a defensive guy can do that, or an offensive guy who will let someone else call the plays.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And that brings up a whole other realm of questions. Is it, if you're a first-time head coach and you're a coordinator, well, you're being hired essentially for what you did, and you're going to want, if you're young, you want to call the plays.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's talking now a guy who's maybe been a head coach and fired, who's kind of been through it before and knows what to do, so to speak. So I can separate myself. I am here to be, because really, to me, I think Mike Tomlin did that really early in Pittsburgh. Is he was a position coach, mm-hmm. very young,
mm-hmm.
but he went there to be the CEO and the motivator.
Right, right.
He just let offense and defense do their things. And
well, he was brought up in a different defense. He was brought up in the Tampa too, and they're playing that Pittsburgh.
Exactly. 3-4. So he's really the only one I can think of in when I say recent history, he's been there a long time now. Where, you know, you don't hire, you know, Sean Payton still calls the plays and Reed calls the plays, yep. or, you know, Nagy does and McVay does and Jay Gruden
does.
Right. So that's interesting. I wonder if you'd almost have to go to a guy who's been fired once or twice. Pick a coordinator to do a thing. I don't know. That's interesting.
The other thing is when you have a defensive guy, almost all the defensive guys tend to not call plays. I mean, Zimmer is one of the few who does, but Marvin Lewis didn't for a long time, right? I don't know if he did when he first got there. He might have.
No, he brought in Leslie Frazier, and then it didn't go well, so he took it back. That seems to happen for the defensive guys. They might bring it to play calling back if they don't like it.
It's happened like 3 times this year. He took it from Terrell Austin.
Yeah.
In Buffalo. Was it Buffalo? No.
Carolina, Ron Rivera just did it recently.
Right, yeah. Right. Was it the Jets? Todd Bowles took it away from, I can't remember who it was. But, yeah, I mean, you see that happen. And then they give it back, right. I think, eventually, or they hire a new defensive coordinator. But those guys tend to take a bigger picture look.
Yeah.
So that's why I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
You know, I mean, we could still see an offensive coach, but it'll be interesting to see what firings are done right after the season, because that'll open up some job, you know, some positions, or open up some candidates that maybe we're not totally familiar with.
Yeah, no, it is. That Black Monday, as they call it, can be surprising, or, you know, like in, you know, a year ago, who would have thought Dirk Cutter would have remained? Who would have thought Marvin Lewis would have remained? Now this year, those jobs probably will be open.
Mm-hmm.
Wilkes in Arizona. There's, you know, our colleague Kent Summers at the Republic, I think, wrote it's like a foregone conclusion. He's going to be fired after 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Vance Joseph in Denver after just a couple years. You know, so yeah, I mean, there could be 6 to 7 to 8. New openings, and who, you know, those are guys I don't know that you necessarily think will be available.
Yeah.
Especially when the Packers made their move, you know, 2.5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, let's look at the offensive guys that we know could be candidates. And I don't think it's like this outstanding list of guys. I mean, Josh McDaniels is at the top. And we don't know what he wants. We don't know what people's opinion is of him after he backed out of the Indianapolis job. But he, you know, if you're just taking it based on ability, he would be right there. You know, Zach Taylor gets a lot of publicity from the Rams, but he's never, you know, other than calling a few plays in Miami, and then he did it for Cincinnati Bearcats. Other than that, he hasn't called plays, and he's just been a quarterback's coach. You know, John DeFilippo, are you going to hire a guy who just got fired? You know,
yeah, Eric Bieniemy, kind of the Nagy role in Kansas City.
Yeah,
he's called plays, but in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think some of the same questions there of whose influence and is he the one putting those game plans together in Kansas City?
Yeah, yeah, and then I mean, you know, you talk about some of the, you know, Norv Turners could be available. Mike McCoy, Ken Wisenhunt. Yeah.
So now we're talking guys who've been fired multiple times
with
losing records.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what you want, unless you know this guy has had some kind of renaissance like Tom Coughlin or something like that, you know. I don't know if there's anyone like that.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah.
For that.
I mean, you know, there's one guy, you know, Brian Daboll is a guy that hasn't been mentioned a ton, but he's someone – offensive coordinator for the Bills and has a New England background, guy that they'll probably investigate. But, you know, on defense, Fangio, there's Brian Flores from the Patriots is a guy who just basically filled Matt Patricia's position, but he's been with them for like 11 years,
yeah.
You know, and kind of worked up the chain.
Right.
You know, there's just a number of guys. Let's say John Harbaugh gets canned, you know, a special teams guy background, but Dave Taub, he's a guy who's kind of been in waiting, special teams coach of Kansas City.
Yeah, he's interviewed, I think, 4 times.
Yeah.
In the recent past.
And people don't realize that Bill Cowher was a special teams coach with Kansas City, you know, before he got hired in Pittsburgh. He was a special teams coach under Marty Schottenheimer. So there's some guys with some real leadership abilities out there. It's just a matter of picking the right one.
Can the Packers hire a quote-unquote retread, Tom? Are they strong enough to do that in this family? I will go back recent history of hires. These are all like first-time NFL head coaches.
Yeah, except for Ray Rhodes.
Yeah, generally speaking. So
yeah, Lindy was an offensive coordinator. Forrest Gregg had been the head coach in Cincinnati.
They've gone to a Super Bowl at least.
Yeah, Holmgren was a lifetime assistant coach. Mike Sherman, you know, assistant coach, and Mike McCarthy, an assistant coach.
Yeah, so I wonder how that would go over when you bring in the press conference and, yeah, you know, Ken Wisenhunt's the guy and he's got 2 firings and,
yeah,
you know, a 37% winning percent, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, 1 Super Bowl, of course, and with a veteran quarterback in Arizona, but, you know, I'm curious about that, I guess.
Yeah. if I'm Brian Gutekunst, and I'm giving him most of the responsibility of hiring because I think he probably will add the most to the search. I'd be both terrified and excited, you know, terrified that this group is not going to be very good and excited that, boy, there's a lot of candidates I don't know a lot about and, you know, there's some interesting guys I want to research, and there's a lot of them, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, it is. It's interesting. And I guess you can always look at, you know, you mentioned McDaniels in Indianapolis. I'm sure right now there's not a soul in Indy who thinks, you know, doesn't thank Josh McDaniels for walking away. Because Frank Reich, a year ago, it was John DeFilippo was the guy out of Philly. Frank Reich he didn't even interview anywhere.
Right.
And then just he's sort of fell into, coach. Yeah, he was the only guy left in February at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously time will tell how it goes, but at least in year one, you know, the Colts definitely, I mean, Andrew Luck being healthy has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, well, and their defense. They built their defense back up. But you know,
that was, I mean, you want to talk about scrambling and wondering what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that reminds me of another retread, Chuck Pagano, as someone you might consider. I mean, he's a defensive guy from from that Baltimore system. Who knows? It's just right now, as I sit here, I can't even put odds on guys. I really can't, you know, on who they're going to interview.
Yeah. And I'm sure we've got listeners screaming, what about Lincoln Riley, Tom?
Yeah.
What about Pat Fitzgerald? I mean, the college, you know, that's a whole other window, I think, as you listen to this. The early signing period is ending or has ended, which I think was an important marker.
Yes.
Because now these guys might be a little more willing to speak to the Packers if that's the case. Because honestly, Tom, if they don't interview at least one college coach, I don't know why they fired Mike McCarthy with 4 weeks to go.
Right.
Because it's what he's been doing for 4 weeks. He could have been doing that
right
while he was here.
I guess unless they didn't want to go behind his back or something like that, or someone would find out that was it. I'll tell you, there was a report, I think, on Pro Football Talk that someone was going to make a run at Jim Harbaugh, a strong I hope to God it's not the Green Bay Packers, because he lasts 4 years. Basically, his shelf life is 4 years, and then nobody in the organization can stand him. You know, he's just that strong of a personality. Good coach, but, you know, is that what you really want to do? I think you want another 13-year coach if you can.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess the devil's advocate argument would be, well, Rodgers is only under contract for 5 years.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, that would be interesting. Jim Harbaugh and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, man.
In an offensive meeting room.
Oh, man. I would be pay $1 million to be a fly on that wall if they got into an argument.
Yeah, I guess conversely, though, I mean, you look at the offense that's running this league, a lot of it traces to San Francisco and what, you know, Vic Fangio was on the other side of that on defense, but that was, you know, the RPO, obviously Packers fans remember what those teams did with Kaepernick and Alex Smith, and a lot of what is in vogue now, you can trace back to, you know, what they did in San Francisco and some of the college coaches that, you know, Jim Harbaugh brought in to consult that's become in vogue. I mean, Fred, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We'll see about that. But, yeah, bringing in a college coach would be tough. And we've talked about that enough, you know, that it'll be bringing in a college guy it has to be the right guy, and I think you'd want a guy who has some kind of NFL background. Like, you know, Nick Saban was in the NFL for a while, and before he took the Miami job, you know, Chip Kelly didn't. You know, some of the other guys didn't as well. So I don't know. Either way, we'll have to see how this goes. Now, people have asked me, so, you know, you talk about defensive coaches. Why not Mike Patton? And frankly, I think Mike Patton could be a head coach, good head coach, but he doesn't want to. I mean, everything we've talked about, he doesn't want to be a head coach.
That's the biggest thing. I think he, be quite honest, he might have been really appealing to Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, but he's made that pretty clear that Cleveland really did a number on him.
Yeah, beat him down.
Yeah, and if and when he ever gets to that point again. I mean, it sounds like he's not even sure he'll get back to that point. But he's a good example, though, Tom, I think. Now, Cleveland is having his most successful season since he was there. But we've talked about the offensive guys he had hired on that staff in his brief time. And you see what they're doing now. I mean, DeFilippo is part of it. But, you know, I think that's the kind of defensive guy you would envision if you're the Packers, right? Mm-hmm. A guy who has an idea of where offense is going and a strong leader, and he was able to identify that.
Yeah. You know, if he was interested, I would definitely be on top of it. And who knows? He could change his mind.
Yeah.
But
got a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll ask him next week, the last chance we get to talk to him, whether he's going to interview or not. But as of right now, we know that all we know is that he said he's not interested. So
yeah,
we shall see. I'm sure Joe Philbin will interview, but, you know, I don't see any way that he's going to be the head coach.
No, I think to kind of tie us back to the beginning, you're right. I think we've seen more of the same, you know, the last few weeks. And not that, you know, it's – the offense would change your system. We talked about it. It does seem like it's just sort of an extension of what was here, and that was, you know.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what happens in those last two games because they're meaningless, and you can change all you want and make Rodgers look great in the last two games, but who cares? There's nothing at stake. So, all right, well, I think we've laid it all out. We didn't even talk about the Jets, but I'm sure many of you don't care. I will say this. You should watch Sam Darnold. He's got some talent, and he reminds me a little bit of a younger Aaron Rodgers, the way he gets out of the pocket and can make some throws. And he's just come on of late, so it'll be kind of fun to watch him.
Yeah, and, you know, it might be – look, the Packers are trying to avoid franchise history, right, since the 16-game season. And, going winless on the road. And I think it'll be, you know, unfortunately, though, I think it'll be more the same. I think
you're a
Packers fan, alternately maybe pleased, but then pulling your hair out, wondering how this Jets team is hanging around.
Right.
You know.
Don't discount them. They play better at home, too, than they do on the road. Just gave the Texans everything they could handle.
Right.
So, all right. I'm going to remind you that we are brought to you by Potawatomi Casino and Hotel, and New Year's Eve is coming up. And this New Year's Eve, Milwaukee's biggest party is at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. A huge dance floor, the hottest DJs, 24/7 gaming, and more make this a night you cannot miss. Info and tickets are at mkenyeve.com. And I want to thank them, Potawatomi, also for hosting me and Leroy Butler at the Five Questions. We just finished our last episode there, and it was a blast. And I hope we can do that again next year. So, Jim, on to the Big Apple.
Yeah, should be fun.
All right. We will talk to you after the game on Sunday.